watching a special on Fox News, came into the room and said, "What's that?" And I was like, wow, she wouldn't know. She doesn't. She never lived in a pre-9/11 world. And I know for many of you, there are marking points in history, and that you can look back and you wonder, how did we ever have life before that moment? You know, and I think 9/11 will always be one of those echoes in history of that moment. In fact, what's interesting about 9/11, and last week we talked about prayer, was this. Pre-9/11, literally pre-September 11th, the youth pastors in St. Helens received a letter from the high school, which spoke for all of the schools in the St. Helens School District. That's where we were at the time. And the letter was quite simple. It said that we understand that there will be a prayer event. See you at the poll. Please understand that pastors, youth pastors, church members who are not attending the school will not be allowed on school property during this time. You are welcome to stand across the parking lot. Which, by the way, just so you understand, is an illegal move for the schools to make. They can't separate that way. The separation of church and state is quite the illusion. We were prepared at that time to take action because this has happened before. I was simply going to call up a man that I've learned to lean on in times like this, a guy by the name of Jay Sekulow, who the last time this happened, a quick call to Jay Sekulow and a quick fax to the school, suddenly there was a reversal in opinion. But it was before September 11th we got that letter. New administration, they thought they'd try to play the old trick again. And then on September 11th, I get a phone call from one of the kids in the school. And they're like, "Mike, what's happening? We're only hearing things. What's happening?" Then I got another phone call, and this one was from a student saying, "I'm watching it in my classroom. What is going on?" It was a few hours after everything was said and done that I got another phone call asking that the youth pastors would come onto the campus and be with the students. By the way, we also got to join them at CU at the poll without any legal ramification. I'm not saying that 9/11 happened because of, but man, when you try to remove prayer, that's like removing your seatbelt while driving up to Mount Hood with no guardrail, and maybe take your roof off too. And I don't know. It's like driving with a baby in the car without a baby seat. But as I talked about milestones, there's some of you who remember doing that too. But prayer is so important. And again, that should be one of the greatest duh statements that should ever come from this pulpit. How important is prayer? Another thing that's important, just going to throw it out there, men. Men are important, and you need to be praying for the men that are up at Roundup, because they're just living in such horrible conditions, eating 2-pound steaks and half chickens, and literally half chickens are being barbecued for each person. And they're enduring Tom's snoring, but there is good food though, and there is incredible music and a wonderful speaker in the name. His name's Bill Clem, and Wendy had said something to the effect of, you know, that we're lacking in the bass and tenor department. I will tell you, last night joining in singing with them, there was no lack of bass or tenor. It's a beautiful thing when 1,500 men gather together in a forum that's like Tadmore. There's really no other place on earth like it, and they just belt out. In fact, one of the songs that's just resonates, and it's become almost a tradition up there, but it's "How Great Thou Art." There's just something about that song anyways, but when 1,500 men start singing it, you know, it's interesting. They did a lot of worship, and a lot of worship, you know, the words were up on the screen, and it's just a beautiful thing. It just shows you the tradition that it is. That one, nobody needed to put the words up, and people just belted out, and we didn't even skip a chorus. You know, we just went all the way through it, and it was a good thing, a good time. And so those men are up there, and they're wrapping up their time up there, so you'd be praying for them and their safe trip home. And, you know, for the men who didn't go, can I just encourage you next year, go, you know, write it down now, get the time off now, whatever it is you need to do now. There's a lot of misconception of what Roundup is. I will tell you what Roundup is. Roundup is men of God getting together, learning to sharpen one another so that they might come back here and lead the church in the way that God has called them to do. That's what Roundup is. And so with that, let's pray. Father God, I do thank you so much for this morning. And Father, I do ask that this morning would be a morning where that we would reflect on what it is that you're doing here at Scio Baptist Church. And that, Father, we just, Lord, I'm asking that you would just echo in our hearts, allow the Holy Spirit to penetrate, to be able to answer one simple question. What am I supposed to be doing? We give you all the glory and all the praise, and Father, we ask that this morning would be a morning that is yours. Pray that in your son's name. Amen. So, last week we talked about prayer, and I do have a question for you as far as prayer goes, and it's real simple. Do you believe in prayer? Last week, I talked about a prayer walk. I introduced to you the idea of Club Enoch, and there are still some shirts available, which means that there are people who are walking around the streets without a shirt. The idea of the shirts, and some people asked, was I supposed to take a shirt? And I asked, well, were you supposed to pray? I think so. Yep, take a shirt. So that's what these are here for. And the idea of a prayer walk, and I'm going to do a super fast forward here, but the idea of a prayer walk is taking a walk with God. Club Enoch. Enoch, of course, Genesis 5, is the man who, he just didn't die. He just one day got up and took a walk with God and just never came back. I can't imagine a better walk. And so with that, then, I asked you to consider taking a prayer walk, perhaps around the town, perhaps through your neighborhoods. But last week, if you remember, we stopped and we prayed for each one of these particular places. And it's not the place that we're praying for, it's the people that we're praying for. But even more so, in fact, I actually had this conversation this last week, somebody who said, okay, I went and I did it. And I said, well, what'd you think? And they said, you know, every time I stopped, I wanted to pray for the place, but then all I kept coming back to was this: God, what am I supposed to do in this place? That's prayer changing you. And that's a beautiful thing, because it really isn't about saying, let's make sure that these businesses are taken care of, or even that these people are just happy. But Lord, how do I engage? How do we get involved? How is it that I can be used by you? And so when we talked about that, you know, we ended here at the church, and this morning that's what we're going to do, is we're going to give you an opportunity to hear from some different people. We're going to talk about some different ministries that are here at the church, because just as it's important to pray for the community, you have to understand it's crucial that we pray for what's happening here, because there are a lot of things that are happening here, and when those things happen here, they spill out to there. And when they spill out to there, those people out there start to wonder, where did that come from? Then they come into here. Are you seeing the cycle yet? Okay? And that's how it works. That's called community. And so I asked this question: do you believe in prayer? The idea that walking through town, do you think it might actually do something? Whether for the town or for you, do you think prayer works? I want to give you an example of prayer. And by the way, when it comes to prayer, Paul's very clear. He gives us two instructions. One, never stop praying. And we talked about that last week. But it also is that prayer is perseverance. And that in the times when it just looks like there's no answer in sight, or that the answer that's about to come around the corner is not the answer you want, you don't stop praying, you keep praying. And I've shared with you a particular prayer that I've had for the past 3 years. Okay, actually, let me back up just for a moment. I gotta let you know, I'm not sure exactly how I'm standing at the moment. I've been really sick for the past few days, and in fact, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. In fact, service kind of got remolded because of this. But in the midst of my suffering, shall I say, and my suffering was not comparable, I got a piece of good news, and a piece of good news that, quite frankly, just made me think, whatever I think is wrong with me, is I'm over that now. But I've been praying for 3 years. I've been talking about, for the past 2 years with you guys, about a man that I've been praying for, Pastor Youssef. Pastor Youssef is in Iran. Pastor Youssef, 3 years ago, was sentenced to death in Iran because he's a Christian, because he's a pastor. Now, real quick here, just a quick history piece. Pastor Youssef became a Christian when he was a teenager. Okay, he's not a teenager now. Okay, but, and that's important to understand here for a moment. But he got arrested because of apostasy, that he walked away from Islam, which is against the law in Iran. He got arrested because of heresy, because he was actually reaching out to other Muslims. Christians talking to Muslims about Christ is against the law. Please don't underestimate that. Don't think, oh, well, it's not quite. Yes, it's exactly that. Here in the United States, we always like to throw out that whole separation of church and state, and we like to say it's in the Constitution and stuff like that, and it's not. It was a letter from Jefferson. It has absolutely no legal standing whatsoever, and in fact, the one president who pointed that out, interestingly enough, was Bill Clinton. And so understand that whatever we think is persecution here, the moment that you mention Jesus and you get arrested, let's talk about persecution. That was what happened to Pastor Youssef. And so he was, in a sense, retroactively apostasy because he had walked away from Islam 20 years ago. But the thing is that he's a pastor and his ministry in Iran was moving. And God was doing something pretty incredible. And it got the notice of the country. It's a pretty impressive ministry when you get noticed by the country. But I've been praying for Pastor Youssef for 3 years. And then I got to see these pictures a couple days ago. He was released from prison. I'm sorry. It's that bottom one. I thought he was going to come out in a body bag. I thought maybe even if this moment happened, it wasn't going to continue all the way home. I wasn't even sure if he was going to make it home. Here's what happened. First off, his lawyer got thrown in jail for helping a heretic. Then it was asked, who will be his lawyer? And nobody stood up. So he continued on, and it was all prayer. Who was his lawyer? The Holy Spirit was his lawyer. I honestly can say that because he just kept praying, and then they came to a trial, and they had to make a decision. How are we going to kill this man? That's the decision that they were coming to, and suddenly this is what happened. He got a different charge. His different charge was that he converted. That's against the law, too, just converting. The sentence for converting, 3 years or denial of what you converted to, whichever comes first. He was there for 3 years. They let him go. Now, there is a little bit of political wrangling. Prime Minister, President, whatever he is, from Iran, will be in New York in a couple weeks. Some people say this is a little bit of posturing. And I say it's the Holy Spirit doing something pretty incredible. And I've been praying for this man for 3 years, and I'm not going to stop. In fact, that's actually what we want to talk about this morning, is not stopping praying. Just because you got the answer, don't stop praying. Often, we have a prayer list in the bulletin, and often people say, man, we've been praying for these people for a long time. And I would ask a simple question, how long will you pray? Well, it says pray without ceasing. Another translation says, pray without end. And if you remember last week at all, the key word to everything is always. How long will you pray? Always. I look forward to what Pastor Youssef's ministry is going to be. I also praise God for what his ministry has been. I look forward to hearing the stories because you know that behind those walls, God was doing something incredible. And the fact that he comes out and he's got a big smile on his face, he gets to see his boys, he gets to see his wife, the people that were in that upper picture, those are people of his church. Understand, just being there, they could have all gotten arrested at that moment. You know, I don't think right now anybody could touch him with a 10-foot pole. I think if they did, they'd be contending with a lion that is who our Lord is. So this morning I want to encourage you to keep praying and to continually keep praying, praying without ceasing, praying without end, praying until God changes us into who it is that he wants us to be, and understand that that moment, that moment's going to take some time. We've got a lot to be praying about. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at some of the ministries. And I know right now some people are thinking, well, this is kind of an odd Sunday to do it because there's a lot of people missing. What about all the other people? And I would say this. This is for you. I think God's asking you this morning these questions. And we'll tackle those guys who aren't here at a different time. But right now, I want us to be looking at ministries. We need to be praying for our ministries here. And my hope is that in your prayers for them, you will be challenged to be asked, how am I supposed to be in them? So first, let me also talk just briefly about ministry as a whole. What is the purpose of ministry, and who should be doing ministry? I mean, ministry can be kind of seen two ways. It has two purposes in a lot of ways. It meets a need in our lives. If you're involved in a ministry, even if you're leading a ministry, it meets a need in your life. It's a need to exercise your gift. It's a need because you're around a particular group of people that share a particular, spiritual subject, if you will. It meets a need in your life. But a ministry also serves the other purpose of meeting needs in others' lives. In many cases, people who have no clue that they even have that need, they wander in. I'll talk later about it, but I think of something like the women's Bible study. You know, it's open to the community, right? And out of nowhere, a woman can walk in, and has happened. She just heard that there was a Bible study. Doesn't even own a Bible. Steps in and becomes part of what's happening there. That's ministry. Sometimes what we get confused is ministries and programs, okay? And I think this can be a bad thing, because a program in and of itself is, it's an ends to a means. I'm not saying programs are bad, but if everything is program, it's just function. It has its time, it has its place. It really doesn't occur outside of that particular environment. It usually has a very limited audience, and it even risks turning people away. That's a program. See, ministry is not just a time and a place. For instance, this morning we'll talk about Awana. Awana happens from 6 to 8. No, it doesn't. Awana happens from now until then. I mean, there is no time. There is no day. Okay, that's when we might focus everything on, but I'll tell you what. You're an Awana leader, you're an Awana helper. 8 o'clock, you can't turn to one of those children and say, sorry, program's done. You go home now. And you can't meet them in the post office or in the grocery store and say, no, I'm not your Awana leader right now. It's not Wednesday, 6 to 8 o'clock. You're always their Awana leader, and you're going to hear that this morning. See, ministry is what we do. Ministry is who we are. Ministry is all the time. To say that it is 24/7 is to underestimate when ministry happens. Ministry happens all the time. Every ministry, I believe, here, and this, if you will, is the beginning vision of the church, really. Every ministry here should always have one common goal. In fact, I would even suggest that if what I'm about to say is not the primary goal of a ministry, then whatever it is not a ministry. I believe that primary goal is exactly why John wrote his gospel, that some might believe. That's what ministry is, that it is done in such a way that some might believe. That's the gospel. If there's no gospel, there's no ministry. Paul echoes this in his first letter to the church of Corinth. If you want to, I don't have it up on the screen, but if you want to open up to 1 Corinthians 9, you can. But I'm just going to read it real quick here. So 1 Corinthians 9, starting verse 19, it says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them." To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessing. Paul understood that in order to win some, you got to become all. That's ministry. In fact, later on in chapter 13, Paul talks about love. But before he even gets there, just a quick note there. In verse 12, it says, of chapter 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all those things that he just said he will become to win them. And we all are made to drink of one spirit. He goes on to talk about that wonderful conversation. Can the hand say to the foot, and can the eye say to the ear, and all of these things? And it's no, there are many parts, and that's what ministries are within the church, are many parts, but still one body. If Awana does not support the seniors' ministry, it's not ministry. There's a building point there somewhere. If the Club Enoch, you know, going around and doing prayer walks, if this somehow does not support White Cross, it doesn't work that way. Ministries have to be together. We might have these separate little purposes, separate functions, if you will, but it's all together. Never should a ministry compete with another ministry. I fear the day that churches start having bake sales in their hallways and you have to choose which ministry you're going to buy a brownie from. It's not the way ministry's supposed to be. Everything supports everything. We're in this together. Sometimes I think the unfortunate side effect is things like church budgets, where we start dividing up the church money in such a way that ministries then become limited because, well, you don't have a line item or something crazy like that. And we need to make sure that we don't go there, that we understand that, you know what, this is God's. What is God doing? What's my part in it? And so Paul talks about all these many parts, but then in verse 27 it says, now, and understand, when Paul says now, he's, pay attention, wake up. You are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church. He says in the church first. Understand, this is not saying the most important. He's saying, in order for the church to function, these are the steps. It has to have this, to have this, to have this. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Then miracles and gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. All the apostles, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak? You understand that if all of us could do all of these all the time, we don't need each other. Right? You can just be your own church. Church of one. Unfortunately, there are plenty of churches of one out there. Do all interpret? No. But earnestly desire the higher gifts. He says, you know what? Those are all great, but, and I will show you still a more excellent way. And that's what it comes down to ministry. Ministry is about love. If we don't do it out of love, why bother? I believe that if you claim to be a member of the church, and by the way, at the moment when I say the church, I am talking about Scio Baptist Church, not Church Universal, here. If you claim to be a member of the church, you need to be in a ministry. What's the point in being a member if you're not doing anything with it? Now, sure, as a member, perhaps as you're coming in, some need to be trained. You're like, I don't even know what to do in a ministry. That's great. Let's put you underneath somebody's wing. Some need to be doing ministry because you've been here for a long time and not doing ministry. It's time to get involved. No one is excused. I have yet to find it, with the exception of those that are dead. No one is excused from ministry in this book. Jesus never says, you know what, you don't have to do ministry anymore. You're okay. You got your quota in. No quotas. In fact, what's interesting when it comes to ministry, and understand that no person can do it alone. I think if there is a superstar in the New Testament, short of Jesus, it would be Paul. Paul's all over the place, right? I mean, I love Peter. You know my heart for Peter. But Peter stays in one place. Paul, he's everywhere. And he's starting ministries left and right, and he's going everywhere. He's going to prison, getting out of prison, getting stoned, out of stone. He's all over the place. Paul doesn't do any of it alone. Read his epistles. Okay, read his letters. They either open with him and somebody else, usually Timothy. Timothy was a lucky guy. Or they end with a long list of partners in ministry. Paul never did it alone. You don't do it alone. And if you happen to be in a ministry of one, stop. Find somebody. Grab somebody. Bring them along. That's what Paul did with Timothy. He grabbed that boy and said, let's go. Matthew 28, last part of Matthew, we have the Great Commission. It says go, and everybody loves to fixate on the go, but there's a whole bunch of stuff you're supposed to do when you go. That's ministry. Ministry is the gospel. Ministry is bringing people so that they might believe. And when they do believe, by the way, here's what you're going to do. You're going to baptize them. And you're going to raise them up. You're going to disciple them. What's interesting in that moment is it says that some doubted. And Jesus' response to the doubt is proclaiming that he has all authority. If there's ever a moment where you can have confidence, it's when the Son of God says, by the way, I have all authority. I'm not just kind of telling you these things. I'm telling you these things. We're going to do this. And we're going to do it. And he says at the end, he says, you have to understand that in the end, I'm with you. I'm with you till the end of the age. John 12:26, I know we haven't gotten there in our time in John. But in John 12:26, Jesus talks about those who serve. And it says very simply that if anyone serves me, he must follow me. What does that mean? It means this: if you're following him, you're a servant. You can't follow him and not be a servant. He demonstrates it by washing his disciples' feet. You cannot be a follower of Christ and not be a servant. You can't be a servant laying down. Servants are serving. Okay, second dust statement of the morning. So, if you're following, just a couple of quick things here. You're not alone. You're never alone. At bare minimum, you got Jesus, but trust me, he's got you lined up. You're not alone. If you're following, the other things you need to understand is you're not in charge. He still is. And if you're following, you're doing his ministry. Ever claim something to be your ministry? Keep it. Do his ministry. Better retirement package. It's not our programs, it's his ministry. It's not our people, it's his people. It's not our sheep, it's his sheep. So with that in mind, as we now are officially at the end of summer, at the end of vacation, at the end of relaxation, although for some mothers it's the beginning of relaxation because the kids are out the door. But during the summer, certain ministries, they kind of go on hiatus. Because, well, if we look at Psalm 1, it says that a tree is firmly planted by a river, right? But it says that it bears fruit in its season. There are times that ministries, you need to recharge. For some, it's longer than others, but we need to recharge so that we can bear good fruit. And so some of these ministries that we're going to talk about this morning, they've been on hiatus. And now it's time to go back, and I really hesitate to use this word. It's time to go back to normal. I don't know what normal is. I'm not sure I want to know what normal is. I want to know what God's doing. This means that certain ministries are ultimately, they're starting back up. They're getting into full gear, if you will. And as anything else is true, starting back up after especially taking a break, it can be hard. That's when you find out where the rust is. That's where you find out where the joints just don't seem to move the way they used to move. And let's face it, you get a little bit of that haze you got to get rid of. ministries aren't immune to these things. So this morning we're going to be doing two things. We're going to be hearing from some of the ministries, but more importantly, it's a reminder to be praying for these ministries. And if you remember what I've been saying, as you pray for the ministries, you're really praying about God changing you. And maybe perhaps somewhere in that process you start asking, okay, how am I supposed to be in that ministry? And so, real quick, also a reminder, I know that there are a lot of men that are missing this morning. So ladies, I am imploring you, nag them with everything I just got done saying, and remind them that you are not to be alone in the ministry, but bring them with you. I know I understand, I know that there are some men that are up there that they're probably dragging you. Drag each other, walk together in ministry, don't do it alone. So, with that in mind, the first one that we're going to talk about is children's ministry, and I'm not actually going to talk about children's ministry. I'm going to let people who understand children's ministry, because that's not me. No, I love children, but I'm going to let the children's ministry people talk. Actually, is it just you, or is, oh, there she is. All right, so I'm going to bring up Wendy and Amy Lowther. There have been some changes that we've gone through. Go ahead and come up. There have been some changes that have happened through the summer, and they're all kind of children's ministry, so they're birthing pains of something much more that's happening throughout this. And do you guys have a mic? Do we have a, you wanna, can they use those ones? Okay, so.
Didn't want to interrupt him. So, as most of you know, you want me to stand down here so I'm not towering over you. We had no children's church for the summer. We went ahead and took a break. Part of that was because it's hard to run a children's ministry during the summer. You don't know who's going to be here and who's not going to be here. And that's just with the kids. It's really awkward when you have leaders who aren't here because they've been on vacation and forgot to tell you. And so, so we just, we stopped it. The other reason we stopped it was because we wanted to reboot the ministry, and we're still working on that. So, you know, we're still working out the bugs of our children's ministry policies. You might still be seeing a couple safety issues tweaked as we go along, and we'll try to keep you up to date on that. For those of you who don't know, this is Amy Lowther. She loves speaking in public. That's why I'm doing it. And she is actually heading up our children's ministries. I know. And so if you hear the name, there's the face. Isn't it pretty? And so any questions can go to her. If you can't find her, you can come to me, and I will probably ask her for you. So cut out the middleman or don't. So one of the things we're doing is we are starting our... We're starting our teaching on a rotating schedule. And part of that is so our teachers can have some time in church and not just be stuck in the back. Part of that is so when we come and ask you, hey, you want to help with children's ministries, you don't tell us no because you're afraid we'll forget you back there. You'll be back there longer than the kids. So every week we will have a slide up during the announcements and it will show who is teaching for that week. So you'll know who you're dropping your kids off with. If you go back there and that's not who's there, come and get Amy or I and say, that is not who is in the back, so that we can go and find out what's going on. That way also when we have visitors, our visitors can know from the minute they sit down who they will be sending their children with, their names, and something about them. So as of right now, I'm really excited after what Mike just said about dragging each other along into ministry, because the three teams we have are all husband and wife teams who will be teaching in our grade school junior church. So the first Sunday of every month will be Rex and Amy. Right? The second Sunday will be Chad and Elizabeth Stoltz. Boy, I really hope Amy called you, because the third Sunday will be Steve and Debbie Bennett. I don't know if you knew that or not. Okay, good, you did. And last I heard, we are still looking for a fourth team. So what we're looking for is a team of two adults being college age or older, who are willing to, the fourth Sunday of every month, teach our kids. We will give you the curriculum, we will give you what you need, we will give you support, we will give you help. We just need your commitment for the fourth Sunday of every month to invest in our kids. We will ask you to do really difficult things like sign a paper so we can do a background check. So therefore all parents know that we're not sending our kids off with, you know, someone we don't know about. I think that's all we need, right? That's all we need. We need, come talk to us. We're going to make sure that you love Jesus, that you've submitted his authority in your life, and you're ready to share that gospel with our kids. So, that team. On the other side, we have our children's church, which is ages 3 through kindergarten. Side note, 3 is kind of a funny age, so we ask that they're potty trained and 3 by the time they get up there. So, 3-ish to 5, and that one's going to run a little differently in the fact that our rotations will be a little bit longer because our teachers there thought the kids needed a little more stability. So our first rotation is going to be Kitty Struckmeyer and Wednesday Sprague. Leah Ringham and Benita Mask is another teaching team. Jessica Glasser and Rebecca Straw have taught for us in that group. And once again, we are looking for a fourth teaching team of adults to take on the little kids, 3-ish through kindergarten. If you have a short attention span, it's a great age to teach. They only listen for about 10 minutes, and then they're ready to go on to something else. So if that's you, perfect. Come talk to us if you're willing to do that. We're also looking for substitutes that we can call at a moment's notice. Say if someone's kid gets sick on Sunday morning and you don't have a 13-year-old who can stay home with them, like me. Someone who can jump in and is ready just spur a moment to do that. What else? Oh, duh. We are changing where we have children's church. You might need to know that. Our grade school kids are going to be meeting straight up the stairs, upstairs in the junior high / cubby / Mountain Dew green room at the top of the stairs. Our 3-ish year olders through kindergartens will be in the 4- and 5-year-old classroom, which is actually room 207 up in the corner here. And we will be at the top of the stairs to help you find those places as we do that. The reason we've done that is that upstairs room is, we feel, a safer check-in, check-out point than the fellowship hall. We're going to be asking parents to come and pick their kids up after children's church so that we know that we have delivered our children to their parents. Once we give them to you, they are all yours. What happens to them after that point? That is all on you. But before that point, when they're in our care, we want to make sure they're with who they need to be. So that upstairs room gives us that little hallway where we can check them in and check them out and know that they're safe. So new room, different teaching schedule. What else? Oh, helpers. There's those of you who are not adults. Aren't you glad you're helping me out here? Yeah. There's those of you who are not adults who like to help, and we love having your help. If you are 7th grade and up, you are eligible to help with the children's church, 3-ish through 5, kindergarten. If you're 9th grade and up, you are eligible to help with the grade school kids. What we are going to ask you to do is Amy has a form we're going to ask you to fill out so we know who you are, we know what you think about Jesus, and we're going to look at that form. And if it all looks good to us, we're going to put you on the schedule. We will ask if you're not on the schedule that you stay here in church unless we need you, and then we'll come and get you. We're keeping our adult student ratio 1-10 in the church and 1-7 outside of the church. So if all of a sudden we have 31 kids, we're going to come in and find another helper to give us that fourth ratio. We're excited? You're excited? Okay. Wasn't sure. I'm excited. Amy's excited. We're going to have a good year. We had fun this summer. I was highly impressed with the way the kids did. If you could have read some of those notes that came in, I don't know if they knew how deep some of the things they were writing was, but they were some pretty incredible notes. And we had a ton of fun. We took them up to Portland to a trampoline sports thing, and they flipped and jumped and bounced off the walls for 2 hours and convinced us they were not tired at the end as we drove home. So we'll try and keep you updated with pictures and fun slides and stuff, and that's it.
And so one of the things that I want to bring up with children's ministry is that that term, children's ministry, is a very huge, broad umbrella. It covers a lot of different areas. Now, you've just heard in particular what's happening in children's church, okay, or junior church, depending on their age. But there's a lot of different things that happen here at Sio Baptist Church that are considered children's ministry. One of the things that we're working on, and again, it's kind of a in-process thing, but this is in particular with Amy, is that we're looking for somebody who can be that go-between all the children's ministry in such a way that everybody's not trying to figure out who's doing what anymore, but there's that one central informational point. And I want to make sure it's understood that that's not to say that Amy's in charge of children's ministry. She's that person who's running in between and making sure things are connected, because there are moments where certain ministries can get very disconnected. For instance, like I said, we have multiple children's ministries. Let me explain what that means, okay? So we have, as you just heard, children's church, okay, as a whole, children's church, junior church, okay, during service time. But before the service time, we have Sunday school, which that also includes nursery. Okay, but these are ministries to the children, right? And then on Wednesday night, we have Awana. The thing is that we want all of these things, as I've just already shared, ministries need to be interconnected. They have to be interconnected. Awana is not by itself, and it shouldn't be by itself. It should be connected somehow, some way with children's church, and it should be connected somehow, some way with Sunday school. And there needs to be that constant link, because it's as if we have a children's ministry that has three hands, and not all three hands necessarily know what's going on. At the same time, we want to make sure that it's being communicated in children's church as an encouraging thing to remember, come on Wednesday night, because you've got some kids who perhaps will be here on Sunday morning who might not be here on Wednesday night. More the case would be you're going to have kids that come in on Wednesday night who have absolutely no clue that something happens here on Sunday. Their parents, they drop them off on Wednesday night and they just kind of keep driving. I've seen some cases where I'm not sure the car actually stopped. But you know, they drop them off. They're not coming on Sunday morning. One of the greatest moments in youth ministry for me was watching a kid get serious about church and then watch his parents try to figure out what's going on, and then they show up too. It's what happened to me in my life, and I've watched it happen time and time again. It doesn't have to wait to junior high. It doesn't have to wait for senior high for that moment to happen. I've had conversations with people out in the community who have come to children's church or Awana or something, and they're like, you know, I'm just going to use a generalization here, but you know, little Jimmy comes home and says some pretty incredible things, you know, and they're amazed at it. And I'm like, well, you know what? We say those same things to the adults too. You should come find out. You know, it's an opportunity. And so there's relationships. So with that in mind, you've heard from one portion of children's ministry. Now we're going to spend some time focusing on, quite frankly, probably the most time and people consuming intensive ministry that actually happens here, and that is the Awana ministry. And so I'm going to have our commander, if you're not aware that every Awana group has a commander, and our commander is also one of our church leaders, and that's Bill McCready. And so I'm going to have Bill come up, and he's going to share with you some Awana things. And if you think you know Awana, please don't check out. Listen to what Bill's got.
Well, that's what it's all about, kids. You know, I just had our training session, excuse me, this last Wednesday night with my Awana leaders. And would all my Awana leaders, helpers, and et cetera that are here, directors, could you raise your hand? Just so we kind of got an idea. Yeah, look at that. That's a few. There's a few up at camp. And yeah, we're looking for a few more. We're always looking for a few more. We're like the Marines, just a few more good men, good women. That's all we need. Awanas. You know, this has been a tremendous program for the church. And although Awana is not directly a part of the church, because Awana actually is an international organization that comes into your church, we are close enough and respond to the church and work with the church that, you know, it's kind of seamless. I mean, it's just part of what we do here as Sio Baptist. And I want to tell you, over the last 4 years now, when we started with Awana back up, because we ran Awana for several years and then kind of stepped away from it due to some issues where their program was pretty rigid and we wanted some flexibility, and now a few years later after we stepped away, they gave us all that opportunity to be more flexible in their program. And so since we come back and have been doing one in the last 4 years, we have grown in the fact that the first year we probably averaged about 45 kids a night, average throughout the year. And this last year, right up till spring, when all the soccer and all the rest of that stuff starts, we were hitting numbers like 70, pretty consistent. That's pretty awesome, believe me. It's amazing. And that happens not because just we're getting kids in, but because we have leaders and helpers that build relationships with kids that last, that goes on from year to year and year to year. In a little bit, I'll be showing you a video. I showed this video 4 years ago when we started up Awana. It's a recruiting video, in case you want to know. And it's for Sparkies, but really it applies to all the Awana groups. And it's something, I watch this every year at home because it just really kind of touches my heart to where we need to be with kids, building those relationships that last a lifetime. I would say a good deal of our leaders have been in Awanas or were Awana kids at one point in their time in their life. And that's just awesome that we have that kind of follow through. Now, being a commander, my job is kind of, you know, up at the top. I don't get to deal with the kids too much on a one-to-one basis unless they've been terribly misguided in their life somewhere. And that rarely happens because I got really good directors and I got really good leaders that takes care of most of those issues at the very bottom of the scale. And so rarely do they ever come to me with a child that we have to have a small chat with. And I don't think I've ever sent one home. I threatened a couple, but I don't think I've ever sent one home. Because my philosophy is if you send them home, you've lost them. We need them here. We need them here where we can grow them, and you can't grow them if you send them home. So that's where it works at. So we are looking for a few. Every year we just seem to have a couple holes that open up. I believe this year probably TNT is our biggest area right now where we could use some people to help in. And that's those 3 years right before junior high. Those kind of, I don't know if I'm growing up or not, but I want to be, but I know. It's, you know how it is with kids. You just, they're awesome. I mean, I got some awesome kids. I got kids that just, they just shine when they come through that door. I love standing at the door when the kids are coming in or when they're leaving, because I get to ask them, especially when they're leaving, how was your night? And they're gleaming. And they're glowing, and it's not all about the fact that they just come out of games. Lots of times it's the fact they just come out of handbook time or they just come out of large group time, and they have found something that's got them really excited in their life. So we do need some help, and so if you're interested and you want to talk to us, you know, it can be real simple. Time is probably the most intense time that we deal with kids because we've tried to do like 1-on-4, 1-on-5, and sometimes it's a few more than that because we don't have the help. So, you know, it might be 35 minutes of your evening on a Wednesday evening that we could really use your help. And maybe in some others, it's the whole 2 hours. It's 2 hours out of the whole week. Think about that. 2 hours. You know, that's like if you went down Saturday morning and had a latte and kicked back for a while, played on your laptop or whatever you do when you go down and have lattes. So it's not, and you'll come away from it with an experience you'll not have any place else in your life because these kids are awesome to deal with, awesome to work with. Okay, gentlemen, if I could have you please show the video.
Scene 1A.
Take one.
Here we go, everybody's quiet. And action.
When you hear the word discipline, what comes to mind?
Parks needs leaders who are excited about serving God by ministering to these children. Have you ever thought about why you want to be a Sparks leader? I was cooking dinner the other night and my son was trying to help out. He's only 5, but he has such a desire to learn and be involved with everything that mommy does. We were cooking pasta and I had to tell him several times not to touch the pot or the stove because they were very hot. And then I started thinking, what would have happened if I hadn't told him that? Well, he obviously would have gotten hurt. But I love him too much to ever let that happen. You see, because I care about him, I would do anything to protect him, to help him grow, and to love him like Jesus loves him. You know, it really is the same with the gospel. If we say that we love kids, but we never take the time to teach them about the gospel, then we're not caring about their future here or their eternity. The Bible makes it clear that Jesus loves children and that he views ministry to them as very important. If we want our children to trust in Jesus, then doesn't someone have to tell them what Jesus did for them? Because honestly, there are a lot of kids that don't even know who Jesus is. But it's amazing how excited kids get when they hear God's word, especially the gospel. That's what I love about being a Sparks leader. Jesus gives me this unique opportunity to tell kids about his free gift of salvation. I can't help but want to tell them how much he loves them and how he showed that love by dying for them on the cross.
I just wanted to talk to you because I've got some news. We're moving. Unfortunately, this will be her last night here in Sparks.
Oh no.
Let me get a quick picture of you and Kaylee before we go.
Kaylee, I'm really going to miss having you in my group. But you remember that God is with you everywhere you go, okay?
Okay, I will. Bye, Miss Karen. I'll miss you too. Oh.
Sometimes my Sparkies don't understand everything the first time around. But I know that God will continue to work in their precious little hearts. I truly believe that being a Sparks leader provides perhaps the best opportunity to talk with these kids about God's free gift of salvation. That's why Sparks needs leaders who are excited about serving God by ministering to these children. Leaders need to understand that they're part of a team that God is building and that what they do is one of the most important jobs in the world. You know, we may never truly understand the effect we've had on these kids' lives in our clubs, but God knows. And Scripture confirms that God will continue the good work He has begun. You may never get to see that child that you introduced to Christ grow up. You may never get to see them as a teenager rely on God when life gets tough, all because of what you help them understand about God. You may never get to see them serving God throughout their college years instead of themselves. And you may never get to see them marry a godly spouse or teach their children what you taught them. But God sees. And in the end, what matters the most is that God used you, even if it was to influence just one child's life for eternity. So that's why I became a Sparks leader. You know, we all have different stories to share about why we're serving in Sparks. Why don't you share your story with someone and invite them to serve in your Awana Club? They may just catch the vision, and who knows what God will do with that.
You know, sometimes people think that promotional videos are kind of not real life, I mean, because they're staged. But I can tell you, In the 4 years that I've been a WANA commander, I've had at least two leaders come tell me that same story. Touches you right here. It really does. So, we want to hear from a real live WANA person. Where's Kitty at? Kitty Struckmeyer, come tell us what life is for a WANA leader, director. What job haven't you did?
On Wednesday night, this video really touched my heart. I've been involved in WANA children's ministry at this church for 28 years. And when, at the end of the video, she says, you know, why are you a WANA leader? And the first thing that came to my mind was to teach the kids there's hope. And that hope can only come from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Without that hope, I wouldn't be who I am today. God has used, he has showed me his hope, his love, his existence in so many ways through my life. Some of you guys know who have been here have know some of my struggles through life. And these children that come through these doors on Wednesday night, they're from the community, quite a few of them. And they come from hard homes. They come from families that don't know Jesus, or they know the name Jesus, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. And when they come in, we're given that opportunity to show these children that there is a God that loves them. And he loves them so much that he sent his son here to die for them. And I don't know, that is just an awesome, awesome opportunity to be able to share with these children, because it's a concept that some of them don't ever understand. They just never understood it until they come through the door. Or it's the first opportunity that they're actually hearing that someone loved me that much. And then through that, through this week, I've been praying, you know, different things, but to say this morning. And this came to me is that salvation is the first step of our journey. And when those kids come through the door, some of them do make that decision for Christ, and then it's our opportunity to do the next step, and that is to help grow them and have them rely on God when struggles come up their ways or something comes at home, because as we meet with each child each night, there's times that they need to talk to someone, and we're here for them. And Children's Ministries has defined me of who I am. And it's like if someone ripped part of that and says you can't do that anymore, or it would just be like a part of me just being ripped away. Because it's just so, it's just incredible just to have these children come and see those big smiles on their faces. Come and hear their prayer requests so that you can be praying through them for the next week. And I challenge any of you, if God is calling any of you guys, and you know that voice. I knew that voice 28 years ago, and I was trying to ignore it. But if he's calling you to come and minister to these children, I just challenge you. It would be the best decision you ever made. Your relationship with Christ will continue to grow. And I know I don't like to say come and volunteer, because that's just a pet peeve of mine, because when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, as far as I'm concerned, that free will of that is gone. I'm a servant of His. And a servant does what he is told to do. And I know God is calling me to do the children's ministries. And again, I just challenge every one of you. I hope you guys can see my passion, because it's just wonderful. And I just thank all you moms and dads out here for just giving me the opportunity to help minister to them. And I just thank you.
There's a phenomenon that happens within children's ministry and youth ministry, and I think it's a marker of something healthy in an unhealthy world, if you allow me to explain that for a second. But it's that moment that everybody's gone, all the kids are gone home, except for that one. It happens in children's ministry, it happens in youth ministry, where suddenly you, standing there as the leader, are like, no, we're done. You're supposed to go home now. Where's mom? Where's dad? Why haven't they picked you up? And you can have two approaches at that moment, and I'll be honest, I'm guilty of both. You can be completely annoyed, like ready to chew out the parent. Where were you? Don't you know we end at 8? Or you see it as what exactly it is. God giving you an opportunity to invest in a way that you can't invest any other time. I believe a healthy ministry, especially with children and adults, everything in between, is when you have that one moment where you have that one person who's still there. What are you going to do with it? Now, with that quickly said, if you are here and your kids are in children's church, please pick them up on time. But no, seriously though, I've had conversations. I've sat, you know, when there's nobody else there to sit. You know, there's one particular boy who's kind of become friends with my son, and it is not an uncommon thing on Wednesday night to see his parents show up an hour late. Now, we could get all over the parents, or we could just love the kid. I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier to love the kid. Opportunities like that do not come in every ministry. Children's ministry is crucial. If we think we're going to raise up a church full of adults that are right standing with God and we ignore everything below the age of 18, we are sadly confused. There are churches who believe that when it comes to children and youth, that there's just no room for that. That's not the case. We love our kids here. In fact, I would take this moment and we're just going to kind of jump through a couple of things real fast. There are no more extra speakers at the moment. But, you know, from the Awana time, we've only got 5 minutes. From Awana. Now, Awana goes here. We actually have a junior high program with Awana. Not every Awana group has that. Now, the church I was at before actually went all the way through high school. But here we go through junior high, and this is, again, these are moments where ministries start to overlap, and I don't want them to ever be considered overlapped as in one's on top of the other, but I want them to be interlinked. And so one of those areas that we have changed things around a bit is how our junior high Awana is done in the respect of the leaders that are there happen to also be leaders for youth group time. And that's the other thing I want to just briefly bring up to you here, was that with youth group during the summer, things can get lost. You can come on a Sunday night. We have youth group here, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock on Sundays. You can come on any given Sunday night. There might be 2 kids, there might be 22 kids, there might be 202 kids. It's with summer, it's just a coin flip. Now, once you get back into the regime of school, things get a little bit more cohesive. But it's also a great opportunity to start going fishing, because you have opportunity to be pouring into the schools and inviting and having the kids invite their friends. And so you need to be praying for youth group. And like I said, we have this overlap going from the children's ministry, growing up through Awana, and then getting into that Awana spot, crossing over into junior high, and then being taken care of in the senior high area. But this is a ministry that needs much, much prayer. If I could back up real quick, I wanted to make a real quick comment on Awana. Bill said, you know, you can come for 30 minutes, 35 minutes, right? I mean, you just say, you know what, I've got 35 minutes. I'll come, and you pick, you know, whatever group, Sparkies, TNT. TNT needs a lot of help, but, you know, you get a group, and you say, okay, I'm here for 35 minutes. Is it Pringles or Lay's? You just can't eat one, right? I guarantee you, 35 minutes is going to turn into an hour, is going to turn into 2 hours, so just be prepared for the Holy Spirit to really grab you there. But, no, seriously, come, check it out. What are you going to do? You're going to listen to little Jimmy, and he's going to stumble through his verse, and you're going to help him get through that verse. And you know what's the beauty of it? I stink at memorization. I probably have memorized more verses through Awana, not because of my own effort, but because I'm listening to them regurgitate that same verse over and over and over and over, and it just gets into me. It's an opportunity. Okay, you don't have to be some perfect leader just to simply listen to a child share his verse. I had one kid back in Roseburg, had absolutely no support at home to memorize anything, you know. And sometimes Awana gets mixed up with, you know, you think it's about awards and getting checked. No, that's not what it is. It's about getting them into God's Word, period. If they never finish a book, I'm okay with that. That if they're learning who God is, that's the important thing. And so they come, and I had this no support at home at all. You know, and he got stuck on memorizing the books of the Bible, the order of the books of the Bible. We spent 2 months on trying to get through it, because he couldn't get through the book unless he got past that part. And I was almost in total rebellion, like, let's just skip it and move on, you know. But he actually had something inside. He, every time, at first, he didn't want to. I'm just going to say that after a couple of weeks of doing it, I said, I don't want to. And he said, no, I've got to get this down. I want to get this down. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing. Get involved. Youth group is another area. We've got senior high. We've got junior high. There's no such thing as not needing help. But we need to. And the other thing is, you know, I have parents coming up and saying, you know, Mike, my kid's doing this, this, and this. And, you know, one of the first questions I really have, honestly, is what ministry are they in? Not doing, but what ministry are they in? Oh, they're not. Well, there's your first step. You know, they need to be with other kids to encourage them to grow. That's what youth group is. Other ministries that are starting back up, started up first of the month. I just want to make sure you know this. The men's ministry, and understand, men's ministry is more, way more than just men's breakfast, but let's face it, bacon is a good thing. But men's breakfast, it's an opportunity. Right now, a bulk of those guys that are men's breakfast, they're up at Tadmore, and they're fellowshipping, and they're growing off of each other. I had this incredible conversation with them last night, discussing the things that the speaker said. You know, and so with men's breakfast, that's a once-a-month opportunity to reconnect those things and to keep pushing one another on. But it doesn't stop there. It starts there. And those are the things that are ministry. On the women's side, women's ministry, they've got the women's Bible study that's coming up Tuesday mornings and Tuesday nights. Opportunities for women out in the community, not even part of the church, to come in and join in. And you know what they need? You know what they need? They need Charlie. I love Charlie. They need other women who are going to come alongside them and going to tell them, you know what? It's going to be okay. And you know why I can say it's going to be okay? Because I know who's going to make it okay. They need encouragement. Women's Bible study, yeah, they're going to learn something from the Bible. They're going to learn a lot from each other because of what the Holy Spirit's doing in between them. That's the ministry. And then the other one is small groups. We're starting small groups up, sign-ups in the books, they're in the back. And we're doing a book called The Cure. And again, the whole point of small groups is that, you know what, if you think you can get everything you need to carry your spiritual life between now and next Sunday here, I can't feed you enough. I made the joke last night with a group of guys. I said, one of the reasons I preach so long is because I know there are some people who aren't going to eat until next Sunday, you know, spiritually. No. Small group is an opportunity to be involved intentionally with other people. Okay, and then so what, how do we do that? Well, we do it with a book. We just take a book and we look at the book and we ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what is it you want us to do? John Lynch, he was a speaker at Men's Roundup last year. Bill Thrall, one of the other writers, he was a speaker at Men's Roundup 2 years ago. Got to see all three of them along with Bruce McNichol at a pastor's conference. Just incredible guys who have one simple passion: to let you know who you are in Christ. And that even on your worst day, you are still Christ in you. And the whole point of this book, we kind of did an experiment, and I took a group of guys, kind of like a one big mass discipleship, if you will, and I walked them through this. And there are other people I've walked through this book. And you never want to, please understand, I'm not saying this book, but I'm saying what God has done with this book, what God has done with these three men of God, and how they put it here, suddenly you go, you know what? I've always known that, but nobody ever said it that way. And suddenly you go, oh, I get that now. I understand that now. And here's the beauty of it. You get to do it amongst a group of people who all will be saying the same thing. Whoa, I get that now. And there's an opportunity there. I had two videos I was going to play. I'm going to skip the first one, hopefully, if this goes right. And hopefully the other one plays correctly.
The cure comes off of the opposite, the curse, that we learn about in Genesis 3. And we know where the curse came from, and we know that all of us have been somehow bound by the spell of that curse at different times in our lives, and we will still be bound by it. But the cure is actually Jesus himself. Jesus is always the cure. But the issue for us is, do I really know who Jesus is? Do I know that he's crazy about me on my worst day? Or do I have a different kind of Jesus? So the question of the cure is, what if God is not who you think he is? And neither are you. And of course, the great answer is that because of the miracles that Jesus did that we could never do for ourselves at the cross, he made us different than who we ever were before. He made us holy and righteous, and now I can live authentically. I'm a saint who sins. I'm no longer a sinner striving to become a saint. And that is the cure that Jesus is to us. He's not a cure. He's not an option.
Yeah. So that's where the video keeps pausing. But I want to wrap us up here, but I want you to understand that when it comes to small group, it's an opportunity to grow with one another. As a church grows, you can easily walk in here and sit on that side and have somebody sit on that side and never know each other. Okay, small group is that in-between thing. Because again, ministry isn't about what just happens here Sunday morning. And it's not just what happens on Wednesday night. There's a whole bunch of days and times in between. And so we've got sign-ups back there. You know what? It's scary. You might go to somebody's house and you might have to eat their food and it might be a casserole. And there's all sorts of things that you just think could go wrong. What if I read this book and I just don't get it, but they get it and I'll feel dumb? No, don't get into a small group. There's two books for this one. There's the main book. That's what you really need. Now, if you want to take a separate, there's a study guide. Here's what's really cool about the study guide. In the back of the study guide, there is a DVD, the videos. And there's only a few videos that you'll watch. These are not long videos. These are two-minute videos. But you know what? You can actually go ahead and start watching them at home. And you have everything. And here's what's going to happen. The reason I say this is because I've watched it happen over the course of the past year that we've been working through this book with different people. First of all, I can't keep these in my office. Everybody who has read the book says, I need another copy. Why? Because I'm thinking they lost it. No, they gave their copy away, you know, and they've given their copy away. And it's one, every now and then, the Lord just takes a group of men and does something pretty incredible. And what he does is he speaks the truth, the same truth that's here, but he just says it in our language. And that's what's happened. And I really want to encourage you to be involved in small group. It's also important for us to recognize that there are other ministries that are always going, and we need to be praying for all these other ministries that are always going. Sunday school, doesn't take a break during the summer. There are a lot of churches who take breaks during the summer, and here's what happens. This is the trend in America right now, if you're not aware of this. Okay, eventually they go, you know what, maybe we should just take the summer off. It sounds like a good idea. You know, attendance is down. The teachers need breaks. It makes sense. But then what happens is then suddenly Sunday school isn't important anymore, and eventually the churches who try to do that on and off again just stop. The average church in America, and when I say average church, I'm talking over 70% of evangelical churches in America today do not have a Sunday school program. 70%. I love Sunday school. I really love Sunday school. Be praying for the Sunday school because they need it. And there are areas that you can be plugging in Sunday school. Missions. Our missions are organization. There's a group of people who are faithful in prayer. There's somebody like Wilma who is faithful to let us know if you're so willing to hear what's going on. You know, if you've been paying attention in missions lately, you know, the Reeds. Reed's been trying to get into Mexico. You know, it's so funny. It's so easy, apparently, to get from Mexico to the United States, but we can't get from the United States into Mexico. I'm not sure how that works, but they're in. But you know how I know they're in? It's because we have a missions group, a missions team that is just in love with missions. Next week, we're going to take a special offering for missions so that we can give a special blessing above and beyond what we already do. Be involved in that, and there's plenty of room. I don't think, Wilma, you correct me if I'm wrong, there's room at the table in the missions team, right? There's always room there. And so there's that. There are things that only happen once in a little while, but they're always being built. It's a 365-day thing, Operation Christmas Child, right? It's an opportunity to get involved. It's not like Liz just sits and waits and waits and then springs on you. She talked to me like 3 months ago about the DVD, you know? So it's like, these are ministries that are happening. You got White Cross. You've got the seniors' activities. Let's face it. There are some weeks I might not have a lunch if I didn't get to, pretend to be a senior at the senior luncheons and whatnot. But the ministries that are happening there, and we need to be asking ourselves all the time when we look at the ministries, not programs, ministries, is there anything we're missing? What else, Lord, could we be doing? Are you calling me to do something? Is there something that we've overlooked? In fact, the early church was put in its place because it realized we're overlooking certain ministries. We focused here, but we forgot to focus there. And so the early church went and found people like Stephen to expand the ministry. Sometimes the Lord lays it on your heart and new ministries come. In fact, one new ministry that's going to be coming on board, if you haven't heard about it yet, it's because you're probably not listening. But we have a women's ministry, wonderful women's ministry. We have a seniors ministry. We do all these things, small group and stuff like that. And there's one little element that sometimes happens. Couples show up. Couples mess everything up. There's a certain element of our population, single women in particular, that they've got different needs. And they've got different things that they need to connect with. And so Brenda Spence came to me and says, do you think? Like, did the Lord say? I think. And so there's a brand new ministry that's happening there with the single women. And that's because it laid on heart. In fact, I'll tell you real quick, never, ever, ever come to me and say, I think the church needs a ministry and somebody else should do it. If you come to me and say, I think the church needs a ministry, chances are the Lord's saying you need to do it. Other things that are being explored right now that we're kind of just taking baby steps in. We don't really have a college-age ministry. So we're looking at that. What does that look like? I mean, I realize we're not a big college town. We're not a college town at all. And most of our kids go away, but not all of them go away. And, it's like, okay, if I look at, I'm going to pick on you, Stephen, but I look at Stephen, he's that age, What's he going to do? Does he go to the high school Sunday school class? Or does he go to the Sunday school class that his grandparents would go to? Where does Stephen go? He's welcome in either, but why isn't there something for Stephen, right? So we're looking at college age. And then the last one I want to bring up to you, and this is really in its infancy right now, but I'm so glad that the Lord's laid it on this person's heart, but the question of missions in terms of short-term missions. What does it mean to, more than just we need to support those who are going and going and going, but we need to also be sending. And short-term missions, that's a whole Sunday message all by itself. I had no value in short-term missions early on in my ministry. And the Lord really smacked me upside the head on that and took me to Japan, took me to Russia, and ended up taking kids with me, high school kids with me, who are now serving full-time on the mission field because they tasted and they saw that the Lord is good there too. So these are all the different ministries. I'm going super fast forward because I just want to get to my challenge for you this morning. How will you be praying? Okay, how will you be praying for what's happening here at Scio Baptist? You can be praying, Lord, help those ministries. Do. Be faithful and help those ministries. Just don't be surprised if the Lord says, okay, here's how I'm going to help those ministries. I'm going to use you in those ministries. There isn't anybody here who can't get plugged into something. Promise you. Okay, and if you come to me and say, oh, you don't know, we'll figure it out. There's a place. Get involved. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you so much for this morning. And Father, we do lift up the ministries of the church, your ministries, your church, your people. Father, I pray for these ones that have been, we've talked about both in depth and in just